Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I was getting ready for this morning's service. And I was praying and I was asking the Lord just what it would be that I would speak to you about. And the Lord kind of kept taking me back to this phrase, if you will, just this thought of one word. How many of you know that when Jesus speaks into a situation, all it takes is one word to completely turn it around? Does that make sense? Amen? That is when the voice of God opens his mouth. That's all it takes, church. It's just one word. It's that powerful. And so the Lord was just kind of reminding me, and I was praying, and I was, you know, dealing with, you know, kind of getting this message ready, and I was just coming back again to that idea of the Lord just using one word. That is, for you and I, if you've ever gone through a trial, how many of you have ever gone through a trial? Raise your hand. Be honest in the house of God. I know many of you have gone through a lot of stuff. Amen? I'm right now going through a trial in my life where my hairline is receding. I don't know how this happened, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I'm declaring a full head of hair like Brother McKay's. Like, man, brother, you still got it, man. Maybe it's ministry, I don't know. Also, all of a sudden, I started getting this white stuff on my chin. I don't know how that happened either. But all it takes, church, is that when the Lord gives us, or when we go through a trial, that is, the Lord will give you oftentimes a word for a season. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That is, before you go into some kind of battle, before you go into some kind of spiritual warfare where you know that this season's about to be unleashed in your life, the Lord will always give you a word before you go into war. If you've read your Bibles and you've looked at the Old Testament, and there's so many great examples in the Old Testament, but you look at the Old Testament and you see that the Lord, before they were about to go to battle, before they were about to take on a city or a group of people, the Lord would always start with, do not fear. Amen? He would always give a word to his people and he would say, do not fear, for I will be with you. Do not fear because I have overcome. Do not fear because I will give them into your hands. And so we see time and time again in Scripture that the Lord was always giving his people a word, and then the onslaught from the enemy would come. Then all of a sudden they would step into battle. Then all of a sudden they would you know, be at war with whatever the enemy was. And so the Lord gives us a word, church. That is, it could be a word of hope. It could be a word of sustenance, a word of deliverance, a word of power, a word of authority. And he would use not only to hold us in that, but use that very word to deliver you from that season. And so it works like this. Maybe you've needed a breakthrough in your life, or if you've needed a deliverance, and the Lord would give you a word through a season. And when God gives you that word, it seemed as though, you know, that situation that you were going through hadn't come to pass. How many of you know the Lord gave you a word, and then all of a sudden it seemed like the exact opposite happened? Has that ever happened to anybody? The Lord said, hey, listen, I will provide, and then you lost your job. The Lord said, you're going to be healed, but then you got a bad doctor's report. And it seems as though he gives us the equipment. He gives us the thing that is going to be what's going to hold us through that season. Because how many of you know that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spirits and principalities of darkness? And so that this war that you and I are in, when the enemy is trying to attack you, it's one of believing. It's a matter of faith. And when you have faith, the Lord will give you a word, and then you don't see that thing happen. You say, Lord, I just lost hours. Lord, I'm going through this in my body. God, I'm suffering in some kind of way, and it seems like this is the exact opposite, but he prepared you with the word. He gave you exactly what you needed, church, to get through. He gave you exactly what you needed to hear in that moment. I remember before my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, the Lord began to do a work in my life, and I can't even really explain it to you other than that he just elevated me. That is, he kind of brought me into a deeper level with him. A level where I felt his presence more, just where I felt more of a closeness. And then all of a sudden, we get the news that my dad is going to, you know, have to go through chemo and battle against this thing. And see, God gave me a word in the very beginning of that, and that it was this, it was that, don't focus on the outcome. Just focus on me. Just don't focus on the outcome. It's not up to you to what the outcome is going to be. It's up to you to focus on me. It's up to you to keep your eyes fixated on me. It's up to you to continue to have faith even when it seems like it's not working. And so the Lord gave me a shift of heart, a shift of mindset almost, if you will, church, of being able to understand this one very thing that I believe Job understood as well. Job went through the most severe trial that he could have ever gone through, losing his home, his possessions, losing his cattle, his livestock, his job, his workers. He literally lost almost everything. And Job said these words. He says, though I may be slain, he says, yet I will praise you. Job understood this one fact, church, and that it was this. That no matter what we go through in this world and in this life, God is still good. Amen? God is still good. And so every single word of God that he gives to you, church, is like a seed. That means it has the ability to produce that which it was sent to do. I'll say that one more time. Every single word of God, every single promise, every single thing that the Lord says, hey, listen, this is my word for you. This is the word that I'm giving to you for this season. It has the ability, church, to produce just like a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, it contains the ability, church, to produce thousands and thousands of whatever it's meant to reproduce. And just in the same way, a word of God, when God gives you a word for a season, it has the exact same ability to produce that which it was sent to do. Isaiah chapter 55, and many of you know these verses, starting with verse 10, says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Amen? And so every word of God, church, every single word has the ability to fulfill whatever it was sent to do. Now, I want you to notice something in those verses that we read. In Isaiah, it says this. He said, he uses these words. He uses the word bud and flourish to illustrate the bringing forth of new life, the bringing forth of new creation, of abundance. And so if you know your Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, this is no greater illustration in my opinion. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, how many of you know these verses? Amen? We all start with them in January. You know those New Year's resolutions? Everybody probably knows at least these three verses. In the beginning, everyone say it with me. God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And verse 3, everyone knows it. And God said, let's back up. Let's try that one more time. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want us to understand something, church. Everyone repeat after me. Say, and God said. One more time. Say it like you mean it. And God said. What God says, church, has the ability to release whatever it was sent to do. Anytime God says something, church, it has the very ability to release that which it was sent to do. Now, I'm going to kind of hammer this on this point just for a minute, church, because we've been going through a season that seems like it's not going to end. Can I get an amen? But how many of you know that when the Lord gives us a word, it has the ability to accomplish that which it was sent to do. Can I get an amen? That means that if God said, listen, I'm going to use this season for whatever reason, and I've got a whole plan behind this thing, how many of you know that the Lord can shift any single season at literally the spoken word? That's how powerful God is, church. That is how powerful God is that God, if he speaks it right now and says, hey, listen, coronavirus is dead in Jesus' name, man. Well, in his name, right? He wouldn't say in Jesus' name, but he'd say in my name. I defeat that thing right now. It could be done right now. If he says right now, we could get every single person out of our homes and out of quarantine, and we could shift this season into a season of revival. How many of you know that it could happen? But it's not by what we see, church. We do not operate by what we see. We do not operate by what we experience. I get it. You've got feelings. You've got emotions. You've got a body. You're a physical person. We feel, we see, we are affected by the things that go on around us. But how many of you know that faith, in true faith, has no eyes? That is, faith does not see the obstacle in front of it, but it sees the power in which it has put its faith in. I said it sees the very power of Jesus, the very power of a living God, and we are able to see that and keep your focus there, and you know, church, that there's nothing impossible for God. There's absolutely nothing impossible for God. And so the question of the hour is this. What has the Lord said for this season? Now I pray maybe Pastor will give me another week to teach on this because I have more than what I'm going to give you today. But the Lord has spoken several things to me over this past several months, back all the way to March. And the Lord was highlighting these things in my spirit, and he was reminding me of these things. And so we have to answer this question, what has the Lord said for this season? Now, there's a few reminders that I want us to look at. But one of the things that I believe, church, is so important and key is that I believe we are going to see God propel us from a pandemic into revival. I said, I believe that with all of my heart. That God is going to shift this whole single, you know, season around. And it's not going to be because of an upcoming election. It's not going to be because of those things. It's going to be because the church of God, the body of Christ, is seeking the Lord like never before. Could somebody say amen? I said it's going to be because, church, you have bowed your knees. You have repented. You have literally lived out 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Thus says the Lord. Amen? So this is what I believe God is allowing this whole season to stir within you and within me. He's allowing this season for this reason. And so Song of Solomon or Song of Songs in your Bible, chapter 2 and verse 13, this is something I taught on a while back. But I want us to read this translation. It's the Passion Translation. It says this. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? Now again, this sounds like crazy talk because we don't see this happening. But listen to the Spirit of God. Can you not discern this the new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. He goes, the budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers there is change in the air. So here's the word of the Lord. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. Church, this has not been a vacation. I pray in Jesus' name that this has not been a vacation for you. But that you have taken more time than you have ever before to arise and go away with the Lord. To arise and get to that secret place in God where you are praying like you have never prayed before. Where you are seeking the very face of God like you have never done before. Where you are pressing into the presence of God and you are yearning in a new way for the Spirit of God to move in your life. I love what he says. He says, run away with me to the higher place. I believe right now, church, that the Lord is doing something and he's not doing it at the level that he used to do it at. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason. How many of you remember when Jesus was talking about the wheat and the tares? He was talking about these two things that were rising at the same time. But he says, listen, you cannot cut the wheat from amongst the tares. That is, you have to let them both grow, because when they are at full growth, they will reveal themselves. There's a difference in the sprout, but when they're growing, they look exactly the same. And I say this illustration, and I use this church to illustrate this point. The Lord is sifting his church. The Lord is sifting the body of Christ. That is, the Lord didn't bring the pandemic. Don't mistake my words. But the Lord is using the pandemic to sift between his people, to look and see who is the beautiful companion. Who is the one that wants to run away with him? Who is the one that says, Lord, my heart beats for you and nothing else? God, my passion, Lord, is not just to be in a building, God, but my heart, Lord, is to please you. My heart, God, is to just serve you, Lord. My heart, Lord, is to love you. You see, church, a season like this will reveal that. A season like this will reveal if your heart and your life has been glued to the television or if it's been glued to the presence of the Lord. The Lord is looking, church, right now for those. He says, now is the time to arise and come away with me. There's many, many promises of God that I could touch on this morning, but there's one that the Lord is reminding me of right now, and the Bible says that he loves those who long for his appearing, church. How many of you want Jesus to appear? How many of you want to see him again? I can God honestly tell you, church, that my heart will never be satisfied until I'm in the presence of the Almighty God forever. Because this world has its way of trying to tug you from Jesus, amen? This world has its way of trying to just, you know, get you distracted by all the things that the enemy wants to throw our ways and pull us from God. And the Lord is saying, hey, listen, now is the time to arise and come away with me. Seldom before has the church, and that is the body of Christ, been backed into a corner, so to speak, like this that we're experiencing. And I believe, church, in America, the body of Christ has actually had its platform to stand on. That is, for many years, we've had the freedom to be in these buildings, amen? We've had the freedom to preach the truth. We've had the freedom to worship God. But because of this virus and all this stuff that we're experiencing, that was taken away. And in recent months, the enemy has used this virus and political agendas and fear to push the church backwards. Joseph, if you remember your Bible, in Joseph chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph spoke the true words to his brothers, who actually left him for dead in Genesis 15, 20. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And I believe that scripture is just parallel with the season that we're living in. The season that we're living in, church, was sent and it was intended to harm us. Amen? It was sent by the pit of hell with this fear-mongering disease, that it was sent from the pit of hell to harm us. But God intended to use it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Listen, I need to refocus your attention, church, and that is this. Jesus is coming back for those who are looking for him. Jesus is coming back for those who are longing for him. No one else. But I also need to direct your attention to this very fact. Jesus is coming back for those who are serving him. Jesus is coming back for those, church, who are doing what? That the Lord would use this season in your life to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I need to say this, church, because it's ever so important. You are not exclusive to the plan of God. You are included. That means this is that you have a voice. You have a message. You have a testimony that the Lord can use. That the Lord can use. Everyone say, the Lord can use me. That the Lord can use, church, to reach somebody's soul for Jesus. Now is not the time to continue to stand on divided lines. Now is not the time to stand on one side of the fence. Listen, if you think you're standing on the right side of the fence, you're dead wrong. There is no fence with Jesus. I said, there is no fence with Jesus. Jesus has come to be a bridge for those to be able to cross over so that they can receive the Father's love. And church, now is not the time to be those who are angry and at ends with each other, but to be those who what? Are seeking the lost. We've got to preach Jesus. It's still the time to preach Jesus. It never stopped being the time to preach Jesus. Can somebody say amen? I said it never stopped being the time to preach the name of Jesus. Joseph was given a dream by God, but after telling his dream to his brothers and to his dad, his brothers sold him into slavery. It's probably a pretty bold thing to say that, you know, the Lord told me to do something, or the Lord said I was going to be this, or the Lord said I was going to do that. This is why the church hides and they just say, oh, well, God didn't really say that. There's no way God could use me. And the devil just funnels people back into lies and deceit. But Joseph was given this dream by God. He was given this dream that he would one day be in a place of power, in a place of authority. He would one day be in a place, church, where he could direct things. He could literally just have his hand upon nations. And the Bible says that their jealousy, that is his brothers, their jealousy of his relationship with his father, it angered them so much, that is that they accused him selfishly of wanting to rule over them. Now, how many of you know that sometimes what God tells us to do and what he tells us will happen sounds completely foolish to others? Amen? God will tell you, man, hey, you know what? It's time to build an ark. And everybody's like, Noah, we're in a desert. No, trust me, it's time to build an ark. Noah, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're going to Lowe's and Home Depot to buy all the wood up and stuff so that you can build your ark. You look pretty foolish. I mean, how many of you know that Noah looked pretty smart when he was on that boat all by himself with all those animals? Amen? And sometimes the things that God reveals to your heart look completely foolish to even those next to you, those around you, those that you think support you. But it's from those very things, church, it's from the beginning of those things that God will use one day. And I told you something important, that was this, is that it's not about the outcome, it's not about getting there, it's about keeping your eyes on Jesus. The dream almost seems so foolish because the end result wasn't anything near the beginning. It wasn't anything like the beginning of it at all. God gives Joseph a dream that he's one day going to be in a place of power, and what happens next? He gets sold into slavery. That sounds pretty contradictory to me. God said he would deliver us from this season, but we see people dying around us. God said he would deliver us from this season, but we see people all huddled up in their homes. Doesn't it seem like the opposite could be happening? It's almost as if heaven is silent or heaven is brass. But I'd like to propose to you, church, this, that though we see recklessness and rebellion in our world today, God will bring forth revival once again. Amen? I said God will bring forth revival once again. And I would like to remind you of the word spoken to us in this season, and that is this, is to run with the Lord to the higher place. Now is the time, church, to run to God. What does this mean? It means that though the enemy has kept most of us quarantined in our homes, and it's actually been turned for good because we've now been positioned to go to that higher place with the Lord. Amen? Listen, you've been at your house this whole time. You've had the secret place right there. Right there by your bedside, right there in your closet, right there wherever it is that you go to pray in your home. You've had more time than none, church. You've actually been positioned by God. You've been positioned by God to do the very thing that the Lord is wanting you to do in this season. You've been positioned to go to the higher place with the Lord. Think about that. The enemy said, I got them trapped. They're stuck. They're stuck at home. There's no way they're going to be able to worship God now. And God said, hey, listen, I turned the whole thing around. You can worship Jesus wherever you are. You can pray like you've never prayed before wherever you are. You can pray in your home. You can worship with your family at home. You have time now to read the Word of God. I said, you got time. Everyone say, I got time. Trust me, you got time. Trust me, you got time. But you use your time for other things. Let's use our time for the right thing, to go to the secret place with God. You have time to spend in the presence. And so I'd like to propose to you, church, this, that God will always give you a word before a season unfolds. That is, God will prepare you in advance with the plans for battle before the war actually begins. Amen? So again, I say it sounds contradictory because it's usually the opposite of what he said would begin to unfold. The enemy uses this all the time, church, to distract and to deceive. How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit speak something into your life? You've heard the Holy Spirit just speak a word into your heart, into your life, and you just know it's God. Amen? You just know it's the Lord. And like I said at the beginning, you may hear God speaking to your life, by my stripes you're going to be healed. And then the bad doctor's report comes. Or the word of the Lord comes to you saying, you will live and you will not die. And then you get the news that you've been diagnosed with a disease. God said that he would provide, and suddenly your hours at work are reduced. What's happening is God is giving you the seed for which your breakthrough will come. Listen, church, he's always provided for us. Sometimes we say, you know what, Pastor Duke, God hasn't, done enough for me. Listen, it's all about what you do with what you have. Think about this. Some of you are asking God to give you, better paying jobs, and maybe that's part of the answer. But maybe God would have you look inside your heart and say, what are you doing with what you have? Amen? My dad was a wise man, and he used to say this. He said, son, you want to make more money? I said, yeah. He goes, spend less. Wise man. Wise, wise man. Church, it's what you do with the word of God that he has given you that will determine the outcome which you're going to live in. And I'm here to remind you that a single word from God has more power than a million lies of the devil. That was a good time to say amen. I said a single word of God has more power than a million lies of the devil. More power, church. And so it's what you do with that word that determines the outcome that you live in. And so dare I say that some of us have ignored the word. That is, we've ignored that the opportunity to go up to the higher place in God, to seek and fast and pray and desire him more than ever. In exchange, what people receive when they disobey God is literally worry and fear and angst and ultimately disbelief. Disobedience to a word of the Lord will never lead you out from a season that you've desired. How many of you have read the Old Testament? You've read the book of Exodus. You've read the book of Deuteronomy. You've read the book of Numbers. And you read about the Israelites. And the Bible says that they are literally set free from slavery, church. They're set free from all of this bondage and all these things. And they're literally pulled into this new place. And they have everything that they need in God. God's like, hey, listen, what is it that you need? What is it that you want? I'm going to provide every single thing for you. And what do? They complain. Well, that's too hot. So God gives them, rain. God gives them water from a rock. That's too cold. God gives them a pillar of fire at night. I'm kind of hungry. God gives them manna from heaven. I don't really like it, though. God gives them, pigeons and quail. God was showing his love and he was showing his passion. He was showing his willingness to say, hey, listen, I'm here with you. I'm going to get you through this. But listen, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. You're too focused on what you don't have instead of what you actually have. How many of you know that you have Jesus? He is more powerful, church, than anything that you could ever need in this world. He's more powerful than all things, church. He's saying, focus on me. Turn your attention towards me. Now is the time to go to the higher place in the Lord. Isaiah 43:1 says, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Now, let me back up just a second. He says, do not fear. Then he goes on to say, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Now, here's the next thing that happens. When you pass through waters, he gave them a word, and now he's like, when you pass through waters, I'm going to be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Here he's illustrating this fact. He's saying, listen, I gave you a word. Do not fear. I've called you my own. I have called you mine. You are my child. I will not let anything touch you. But guess what? There's a river. And guess what? It might be kind of high. And guess what? You might have to walk through fire, but guess what? I will be with you. He says, I will be with you. Church, our pursuit of God protects us from the perils of the enemy. That is, our obedience to his word guards us from the evil one. The word of the Lord here, he says, do not fear. I've called you. You are mine. Now go pass through the waters and go step into the fires. The Bible says that though the enemy forms a weapon against us, it will not what? It will not prosper. You will have to go through seasons in your life, church, where it felt like you were about to drown. It felt like you were sinking. It felt like, you know what, you weren't going to make it. It felt like it was so hot. It was so uncomfortable. It was so terrible. It was so just heartbreaking that you had to go through. But he says, I will be with you. I will be with you, church. I will be with you, child. Matthew 24 and verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away. He says, but my words will never pass away. My word will remain forever. In Luke 19, the Bible says that Jesus was teaching in the temple and he was sharing God's word. And the leaders and the chief priests who were amongst him, that is the Pharisees, they were people that were actually trying to kill him. So that's like me preaching and one of you wants to kill me right now. Hopefully you don't. Now imagine with me for a moment that you're just sharing the truth. You're speaking the word of God. And there was a person next to you wanting to kill you. They're not far away. They're in the room. They're within striking distance. And the very thing that prevents them from killing you is the word of God. The Bible says that they could not do anything to accuse Jesus. They couldn't. They had nothing to be able to try him with. They had nothing to be able to condemn him with and actually get their hands on Jesus to destroy him. And Luke 19 and verse 48 says, yet they could not find any way to do it because all of the people hung on his words. That is those who were listening to the word of God. Those who were there were captivated by the power and the authority that Jesus spoke with. See, are you captivated by the word of God, church? Jesus was kept alive in that moment through speaking the word of God. And so I would like to propose to you that when a word of God is released from your lips, it has the power, church, to keep you alive. It's that powerful. Death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. He who loves life will eat from the fruit thereof. We have the importance, church, of knowing this word. Of speaking forth this word and acting out this word. In Acts chapter 27, there's this story of Paul and these people that were on this ship. There was prisoners, and if you know it, you can find it in your Bibles in Acts chapter 27, around verse 14. But before we read it, I want to give you some context. Paul, at this time, he was serving God. Paul, we know, was Saul before, and he was a Christian killer. He was literally a person that was so studied in the law of Moses back in those days. He was so studied in the law that you know, Paul, you know, literally thought it was his Christian duty that he was serving God by killing those who opposed the law or those who did not fulfill the law. And so Paul is this man that's been radically transformed by the power of Jesus. And we see at this point in Paul's life, Paul is now caught up on a ship with a bunch of prisoners, and they're going to send Paul to be executed. Paul is part of one of the many who were going to be punished. And so Paul is caught in this storm without any control. And the Bible records that as they were sailing on this boat, this hurricane force wind began to rise up, and it caught the ship with winds so strong that they had to give way. That is, they had to be just kind of, you know, remove their anchors and just be driven in the ocean by this storm. And it almost seems like the storm that we're living in today. The storm was pounding their ship so strong that they passed ropes underneath the ship as if to tie it and reinforce the boat together, fearing that the storm was going to rip the vessel apart or else it would be dashed upon the rocks. And as one day turned to the next, they began to throw cargo overboard to lighten the load. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle and gear overboard as well. And this is where we catch up to the story in Acts 27 and 20. It says, so when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, it says, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. I can imagine, church, that for some of us, you have felt captive during this season that we're living in. You felt completely out of control of the circumstance, so much so that you feel imprisoned to whatever the storm might do. That is, you feel just like you're being tossed back and forth by this uncontrollable circumstance. That is, you feel bound in a way that is allowing that storm to toss your ship back and forth. And possibly, dare I say, even some of you are giving up hope. In times of hopelessness, church, there's always a word of hope. I said, in times of hopelessness, we need to be keen and we need to be alert to look for a word of hope. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 22, Paul speaks up and he says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. They're in the middle of a raging storm. And God gives Paul a word. He says, I encourage you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost and only the ship will be destroyed. Now imagine with me, if you will, if you were on this ship, you're literally in the middle of a storm, and we had a hurricane recently that was really, really bad. And I'm not even going to lie, man, my bedroom's in the second story of our home, and I was praying. I was like, oh my God. When the wind came right across, I live in North Edinburgh, when the wind came right across, I mean, it sounded like my windows were going to blow out and my roof was going to get peeled off. It was bad. And it was in that moment where Paul's saying, see what you're experiencing, see what you're feeling, see what you're going through. He says, now, I urge you, keep up courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. As believers, we're always given a word of hope in the worst of seasons, and I believe that this verse has a double meaning. The first part is this: for them on that ship, it was the literal saving of their life. It was literally, they were going to be saved, they were going to be okay. They were going to get out, they were going to get back on dry land, they weren't going to die, the storm wasn't going to take their life. But for you and I, church, it's a word of hope saying that though this vessel, your body, because it's just a vessel, though this vessel may one day be destroyed, those souls who long for Jesus will not be lost. Jesus speaking on persecution that his disciples would one day face when they preached the kingdom of God, he said these verses in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. He says, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Church, I need to remind you that we are living in a season, church, that we cannot get this twisted. Sometimes we're afraid of things in the world. Sometimes we're afraid of people, or we're afraid of situations and circumstances in the world, and understandably so. We're human. I get it. But here Jesus is giving us a word of warning. He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. He says, rather be afraid of the one, that is him, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. But he goes on to say these words, church. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? He says, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. He goes, and even the very hairs on your head, they are all numbered. Verse 31 says, so do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. You see, church, your worth to God is found in the Word of God. But without the Word, there is no worth. That is, if without that you actually living this and owning it and breathing it in and literally having your life sustained by it, church, you do not know your worth to God. And therefore, you can believe any lie that comes across your way, anything that the enemy would whisper into your ears that is false, all of a sudden you begin to make that a lifestyle because you don't know what this says. The book of Hosea, the prophet said this. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That is, my people are destroyed because they don't know me. Church, it's not enough to know the book. It's always about knowing the author. Is Jesus the author and the finisher of your faith? Is Jesus the one who you have given your life to? Or did you give your life to a building? Did you give your life to religiousness? Did you give your life to say, well, you know what, this is what I do. This is how my parents raised me. It's just where I go. It's just, you know, what I say. Or have you had an encounter with Jesus? Jesus, church, is the one who can save your soul. Amen? Paul's word of encouragement revealed that what's important to God is your heart and your soul. He says, listen, the vessel's going to be destroyed, but not one of you will be lost. The ship's going to go down. Don't worry about the ship. Don't worry about your house. Don't worry about your possessions. Listen, church, don't worry about your jobs. Don't worry about those things. Your Father knows the number of hairs that you've got on your head. He's not going to let your soul be lost if you have given your heart, your full heart, to Jesus. Amen? And some of you might be holding on to sinking ships instead of receiving the words of life from the one who can save you. You think the thing that you have on your hip, you think that the job that you have, the prestige that you walk with in this world, you think that the politics that you believe in are going to be the things that are going to save you. And my friend, that couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus is the only way. I said, Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. He said, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way, church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your forefathers. He says, listen, man, it was not about the things that you did. It's not about those things that are perishable. He goes on to say in verse 19, he says, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's what redeemed you. That's what gave you the very ability to stand in the throne room of God one day. That is the ticket, church. That is the key. That is the very thing that is going to get you into heaven. John 6 and 63 says, the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. He says, the flesh counts for nothing. He says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. And I believe, church, that we all need to be reminded of the promises that God has given to his children in this season, church. They will be fulfilled. I said they will be fulfilled. Psalms 119 verse 50 says, my comfort in my suffering is this, is that your promise preserves my life. The very promises that God has said over your life, church, they will preserve you and nothing else. I said, and nothing else. And nothing else. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus today. And so as I ask you to stand this morning, you are standing here today. You are in this room this morning. You are watching this service online. You are breathing and you are living today because of the mercy and the grace of Jesus who loves you. Can somebody say amen today? I said you are here and you're standing here today and you're still alive today because Jesus loves you. Because God loves you. Because he cared enough to say, hey, listen, hold on, I'm going to give you one more day. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more crack at this so that you understand that it's only through Jesus. Amen. It's only by Jesus, church. It is only by Jesus that we can be saved. And so with every head bowed in this room today, listen, Holy Spirit, I know you're speaking to our hearts. And listen, right now, I have to ask this question. If right now that trumpet sounded and the eastern sky split, and God called from heaven, and he opened up and tore open the skies, would you go with him? Would you go with him? Would he take you to be with him forever? You say, well, Pastor Duke, you know, I've done things in my life that are wrong. And, you know, Pastor Duke, I've been in church all my life, and I'd hope he would. If we have built the foundation of what we believe on anything less than Jesus, then we have built it on the wrong thing. So I pray right now that as the Holy Spirit is moving, I want us to all just pray this. Can we do that? Let me just explain to you what mercy is. Mercy, church, is us not getting the punishment that we deserve, but instead it was Jesus taking our place of punishment. How many of you know that you have sins that stretch so far? That is that you and I were never acceptable to God without Jesus. Not the amount of years that you've served in the church, not the position that you hold, that none of those things, not even who your family is, none of those things qualify you. What qualifies us is that we ourselves have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we have repented of our sins. And so, Father, if there's someone in this room this morning, there's someone watching today, I want us to simply pray this, and I want us to believe it, and I want us to mean it today, church. The Lord said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. It's not about the works that we do, but it's about believing and accepting the work that He has done for us. Amen? And that is this, is that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin birth. That is, He was sent from His throne in heaven. He came down earth to earth to live as a man. And He lived as a man, and what He did in the process was He gained for us, church, a salvation that you and I could not get. That sacrifices wouldn't pay for, that nothing else would pay for until He spilled His blood upon that cross. But the beautiful part about this whole story is this, is that when Jesus Christ spilled His blood on the cross, the Bible says that it was 3 days later. Everyone say 3 days. It was 3 days later that the power and the love and the might of an almighty God, and that the authority that was given to Jesus, the Bible says that on the third day that He was resurrected and that He rose again. That He did not stay in the grave, that He did not stay in grave clothes, that He was not stuck and bound by what the world said He would be bound by. But the Bible says that the Almighty God freed Him. And when the Bible says that God raised Him from the dead, that He would be exalted above all things, that He would be exalted as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Father, it's this that we acknowledge today, that You sent Jesus for our sins, that You sent Jesus to pay the penalty of sin that we deserved. But Lord, today we confess You as our Lord and as our Savior. Everyone say these words. Say, Jesus, say, I repent of my sins. And Jesus, I confess You as Lord. Say it like you mean it. Say, I confess You as Lord. And I confess You as my Savior. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. But I receive You into my heart today for this purpose, to live a life surrendered and serving You until You come. Everyone say, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Flush out the things that do not belong to You. Transform me. Change me. So that I live for the will of the Father and not my own. So that I would die to my ways, but I would live for You. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we love You. With every hand lifted in this place, Holy Spirit, we love You. And we just thank You, God, for Your word right now. We thank You, God, because it's at the mention of the name of Jesus that demons tremble. It's at the mention of the name of Jesus that all sickness and disease is defeated. It's at the mention of the name of Jesus that if Jesus, You speak just one word, then everything will change. That if You would just speak one word, God, then Lord, every season can shift, Lord. It was by the spoken word of God that, Lord, when You said, let there be light, there was light. And so, Father, we're living in a dark world, God, and we speak, Lord, Your word, God, that says, let there be light again, Father. Lord, shift this season that we're living in, God, from a season, Lord, that is a pandemic, God, or has been labeled as a pandemic, God, but shift it and turn it around, God, for a season for Your honor, for Your glory, Lord Jesus, for Your purpose, God, Lord, to send Your children into revival, God. I believe, Lord, that You're not going to come for a sleeping church, God, but You're going to come for a church on fire. You're going to come for a church that longs for Your appearing. You're going to come for a church that's been waiting for You. You're going to come for a church that's sold out to You. You're going to come for a church, God, that has surrendered all of themselves to You, God, and it holds nothing back, Lord. This is the church that You will return for, Lord. A bride that is ready, God. Lord, a virgin, God, that has her lampstand ready, God, to receive, Lord, the bride, Father. And so we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus, today, God, and we honor You in this place. We honor You, Lord Jesus. We bless Your holy name, Father.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.